So this is the Wednesday evening meeting, and welcome to everybody in person and on the internet. And I don't know if I'm going to preach. I hope that I'm going to preach. Let's pray that God will take us in the Spirit and take us wherever He wants. Thank you, Jesus, for this evening. We thank you that you are alive. Thank you that you are real. And this is the reason why we are gathered here tonight. It's not some kind of made-up story that we would like to believe in, not something that we need to make it through the day or the week or life, but it's a conviction that you have sent your Son and loved us, gave us life that never ends. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy of our praise, our worship. We would like to invite you to come here tonight to anoint your word, anoint our thoughts as we think about you. Come and be here in the midst, in your name. Amen. So, I have had many thoughts, and I was trying to zero in on what I would like to speak about tonight. And actually, this message was inspired by Pastor Juha in Helsinki when we were there last time. Maybe the title of the message could be, I'm not so structured, but the title of the message could be God's Approval or Man's Approval. And I don't know if you have thought about this, but we are just so hungry for being recognized and approved, isn't that so? It's very important. If I don't get approval, I get insecure. And I don't think that it's only me, but this is how we were brought up. We are part of a society. We are part of a family. It's very important for a child to get recognition in a young age, to get proper support, and to guide him the right way. And that happens through giving him not only attention, but recognition, approval. And we think that we don't need that so much. I think maybe, okay, when you're a child, you need that, but when you grow up, you are your own on your own, and you stand on your own feet, and you don't care about what other people say or think. But I believe that even those who say, I don't care what other people think, say that because they think about those people's approval who would approve them for saying that. Did you get that? Because it sounds so cool. I say, I don't need anybody's approval. Yeah! Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm a personality. I don't need anybody's approval. But yes, I say it in front of other people. So, I can get approval from people, and that's also important. We are part of a society, and we fit in somehow. We would like to be approved, but also there's something more important, and that's being approved by God. Of course, it only applies if you believe in God. But I would like to look at these things a little bit. And I said that this message was inspired by Pastor Juha, because he mentioned this when we were there, that the word for glory in the Greek language, doxa, actually means a good opinion, a good favorable view of somebody. I wrote down the definition. The primary meaning of the word doxa is favorable recognition or estimation, honor or renown. And secondary meaning, the manifestation of that which calls for praise. So if somebody is an honorable person, in how it's manifested, that he is a praiseworthy person. So in other words, glory. We say glory. Somebody is a glorious person, that means that he is worthy of me having a good opinion of him. He's worthy of having a favorable recognition or a good estimation of him. And this is God. So this was the word doxa. And I looked a little bit in the Bible because it started to come to me that actually when we read the word glory in the New Testament, in English, it can be interpreted with other words. And so what does this unlock for us? I don't know, let's see. The first portion I would like to read is from John 5. And I said, we can either be approved by man or we can be approved by God. In John 5, in verse 44, this is Jesus speaking to the religious leaders of the day. John 5:44. He says, "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" So this word glory is a positive opinion. It's somebody's favorable view of me. How can you believe, meaning believe in me, when you receive glory from one another, from each other, and don't seek the glory that comes from the only God? And earlier he said in verse 41, "I don't receive glory from people." And this is what I want to say. Jesus was probably the only person who could truly say that he did not rely or depend on other people's positive opinion. But he could stand up and say, "I don't receive glory from you or from anybody else. But what is the most important thing for me is that my Father has a good opinion about me." So this was verse 44. "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and don't seek the glory that comes from the only God?" Which one is more important? To receive glory from man or glory from God? And I think you know the answer. But then I would like to come to the next portion, and I'm going to read quite much from the Bible. When Jesus got approved by the Father, he made this statement about himself, and the Pharisees were very angry with him. He said, "You testify of yourself, your testimony is not true, because you approve yourself. I can also approve myself. I can find other people to approve of me." But Jesus was approved by the Father. And that's 2 Peter chapter 1. I just need a little time to turn there. 2 Peter 1, verses 17 and 18. And this is obviously speaking about Jesus. "For when he received honor and glory from the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard his voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." This is the Father's approval on the Son. And I like that he uses this word glory. I read it again. "When he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" The Father had a good opinion about the Son, and he voiced it to people to hear. The disciples who were there heard it and testified about it. He is the only one. He is the one in whom the Father was well pleased. And we know the counterpart of it, right? Romans 3:23, it says, "We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And there's the same idea that expression, the glory of God, can mean both that it's God's perfection that we have fallen short of. We cannot reach up to his perfections. We cannot be as perfect, as good as he is. But it can also mean the glory of God is that his good opinion of me. We have come short. He cannot have a good opinion about me. So we have fallen short. And Paul makes it very clear in the passage. All of us have sinned. And all of us have come short of the glory of God. So this is why it's very important that God had a Son who lived in this world and of whom he testified, "This is my beloved." This is, how did we read it here? He received honor and glory from God the Father. And he said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So we saw the man, the God-man, Jesus. But also we have something else. And if you read about it in verses 18 and on, well, 19, sorry, and we have something more sure. The prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but man spoke from God, and they were carried along by the Spirit. Why am I reading this? Because we are talking about who is approved by God. What is approved by God? It was Jesus, the Word of God, when he was here on the earth, but also the written word that stands forever. These two, or that person and this thing, the written word, or who is actually Jesus himself, he is approved by God. This is something that's worthy of glory and honor, and we have it in our hands. We can take it in to our hearts, not only to our mind, but let it sink to our heart and keep it as a treasure, something that's worthy of glory and honor. So, first I said, we all are hungry for recognition. Whoever said they are not, they are also, because we are people, we were made for that. Maybe we just don't know what recognition we are hungry for, right? And then I was thinking also a little bit like the world that we live in. I don't know if it has always been like this, but it's very important to be in line with the popular opinion, isn't it? That you only speak what is going to be received favorably. And that's everywhere. That's in politics. We need to be socially acceptable in how we speak on different subjects. You cannot speak out because you're going to be killed. You will fall out of favor. Nobody is going to... You can even lose credibility. It's quite fascinating. When we were at the creation seminar here in Sweden, there were these famous professors, and one of them wrote a book about, well, much of the Old Testament history. Actually, the main point was the Exodus of Israel from Egypt. The book is called The Exodus Case, actually. And he said, I can afford to write this book and publish it now because I'm quite old. But if I would have done it earlier, that could have destroyed my whole career, because I'm not allowed to say those things that I'm saying now. The Bible is not supposed to be true. I don't want to go into details, but it was very fascinating to me. If you are a serious scientist, you simply cannot suppose that the Bible is true. It seems to me. But we can say other popular opinions. I like how we turn always where the wind blows. You know, 20 years ago, it was a cool thing to smoke. Today it's not anymore. So if you speak about smoking, you have to know how you should speak about it. Oh, it's very bad for us. I agree with that. Actually, I'm very happy for this term. It's just very funny for me. I don't think for one moment that people have actually changed their thinking about it. It's just that they know how they should speak and how they should act when it comes to that subject and so forth. Environmentally friendly business practices, being green, that's in, and now you have to speak according to that. Because why? You need to be approved by people. So then you have this package that you have to take on board, and you have to speak it and practice it. I don't necessarily have anything against these things. I'm just saying that I think it's interesting when you look behind what's behind it. It's because I desperately want to be approved. I want to be recognized. I don't want to fall out of people's favors. So I need to do these things. But we said there was Jesus who was the only one who didn't really care about who thought about him what.
Yeah.
The only person that was important for him was the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought glory to the Father. He glorified the Father on this earth. And then the Father glorified him, both when he spoke on the mountain, as you read here, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when he was raised from the dead, at the end, the Father glorified him. And that was the final word when he said, "This is my Son." Everything that he said, everything he did, is here for you to listen and be wise about it. Understand what he said. Understand that this is for you. Understand that this is the way to life. Understand that this is the only salvation that's given to you. So he approved his Son. And then when we think about ourselves, I have pointed out already in Romans 3:23 that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, right? But we speak about Jesus, in whom we can also be favorable with God. And this would be maybe the last portion that I would like to read. 1 Peter 1:7. If we can turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is mind-boggling, actually. If you listen to these verses, let them build you up. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I start in verse 6. "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Whoa, did you hear that? That your faith, after it has been tried, would be found worthy of, let me see if I get these words right, praise, glory, and honor, and the revelation of Christ. Who will find your faith worthy to praise and glory and honor, but God himself? And that's quite something. We want to have the approval of God. And we cannot have it in the natural. We have all fallen short. Right? And comes the God man, in whom the Father is well pleased. He says, "This is my beloved Son." Now we put our faith in him, and this faith is worthy to be found glory and praise and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's just so interesting for us. The one thing that we desire, the one thing that we need to want to reach, the one thing that we are trying to get from each other, recognition, you know, a positive opinion, is going to come from God himself. But we can feel it a little bit here and now, but we have to wait for the time to come to an end, when he will be revealed in the flesh, Jesus himself, and we will be transformed and become like him. One last thing that I have here in my notes, honor from man versus honor from God. In Matthew 6, I don't want to turn there, but Jesus speaks about different things. He says, when you give alms, don't do it like the Pharisees do, who want to have recognition from the people. What do? They make a big noise, people blowing the trumpet, going before him, "Here comes so-and-so, and he's going to give money." And then people can come and see, maybe they do it coin by coin, so that people would see and count how much they give. Oh, and then what did Jesus say about them? they have received their reward. What? The admiration of the people. God is not going to give them anything. But he says, when you give, then do it secretly. And what you do secretly, God will reward you for that openly, in public. And he says the same thing about prayer. And I'm sure there are so many things, so many occasions when we have prayed and we ask God. I remember when I was 18, I really loved my school friends. We were five boys in the same class. And I prayed for them a lot. And I don't know why, I was ashamed of that. So I locked the door. I didn't just close the door, but I locked the door. And I remember that I knelt down because I felt that that would maybe give me a better grace with God. I don't know. And I prayed for them. I'm sure there are so many occasions where I prayed. And he says, when you do it in secret, your God, who is there, is going to reward you publicly for that. What you do publicly, you have received your reward for that. The recognition of the people. Mm-hmm. But if you do it secretly, then God is going to reward you for that publicly. We don't want the recognition of man, do we? We want the recognition of God that comes from God. What we fell short of when we were in Adam, we couldn't have it. We have received it because of Christ. And he promised, whatever you ask in my name, it shall be given to you. Why? Because he can say the same thing that about us, that he said about his son. Behold, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased, you and I. Not because of what we have done, but because of Christ himself. I have one more. Actually, I'm sorry, I said that was the last one. This is just too good.
It's really good.
You know, I'm actually going to turn there now. Galatians chapter 1. This is a Pastor Shibeli verse, but I like it. It's Paul who speaks, and we can see into his heart and in his mind. And he says, am I not seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And this message, this sentence is loaded. There are so many things in this. First, it says, am I seeking the approval of man or of God? This is Galatians 1:10. And this is just something I think that we need to decide at some point in our lives. It's possible for somebody to be saved and get the approval of God that way, because we have hidden ourselves in Christ. We are in him. God is never going to judge us according to who we are in the flesh. He's going to show mercy and forgiveness to us because we are in Christ. But it's still possible to seek the approval of man and be very dependent on it and live our whole lives like that. Or what does so-and-so think about me? What do my neighbors think? What do my colleagues think? What kind of clothes should I wear? How should I put my hair? I don't have so much left. You know, because we want to please man. This is in our nature. So Paul says, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? Pastor Shibeli said this, if I want to persuade people, how did you say it? Okay, let's see. Am I trying to persuade people or am I trying to please God? If I want to please God, then I will persuade people. But if I want to please man, then I will have to persuade people. No, the other way. You know, okay, one more time. If I want to please God, then I will persuade people. If I want to please people, then I will have to persuade God. And that's not going to work. So the only way is I'm going to please God. And then I'm going to be who I am and hope that it will persuade people. Let's not be afraid when we hit opposition when it comes to our faith. for example, I think by a lot, it has somehow become ridiculous to be a Christian lately, because science is there, and they have discovered so many things, and there's this interesting current nowadays that you are actually, if you want to express a Christian worldview, they are just going to laugh at you in your face. Do you really believe that? Yeah, what argument do you bring? Oh, you're so old-fashioned. Nobody believes anything. Yeah, but what arguments do you bring? Is that it's not in anymore to be a Christian. So we are not trying to please man, because then we cannot be the servants of Christ. Yeah. Actually, he says it in a different context. If you think about his life, his persecutions, he says to the Galatians, look at me, if I was a populist, then I wouldn't have suffered those things that I suffered. But I have a message that is pleasing God, that has received the approval of God, and so that's why I have to strive with men, people. So maybe we wrap it up here, but it's just a beautiful thing for me to understand that there's only one person whose approval really matters, and that's God. And then, of course, those of us who think it is God, we will be able to give that same approval. When we have one mind, then we are going to think that the same things are important. We are going to encourage each other in the same thing, right? The same things will be elevated and the same things will be rejected. But if you are looking for the approval of man, we can become like the Pharisees. And maybe God will say, I don't know, but maybe he says at the end, well, you have received what you were hungry for, the approval of man. So what do I have to give you? But when we look for his approval, that might not be popular with people, but we are still going to go for that, because we know that what he has established remains forever. When he put the seal of approval on his own son, that son is the one who sits on the highest throne in heaven, and he's going to rule forever. The word that also has God's seal of approval is forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will still remain. So we think about it as the right kind of investment, I think. We are not going to chase things that disappear. You know, man's opinions, which I said come and go, they change with the seasons. What is approved today will be disapproved tomorrow. But we are going to go with the one who loved us so much that he gave his son. And he is the one, and that's what matters to me when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, and he receives me. So Jesus, thank you that you were pleasing the Father. You never did anything or said anything that was not okay with him, that he didn't desire you to do or say. Thank you that we can know you, that we can read about you, we can understand who you are, not only through the words, but through the Spirit. And Lord, we desire to go deeper in that, to understand what things are excellent, what things are from you, what things take us further in life. And we want to have your seal of approval. Thank you that we have it because we are in Christ, but we also think about the lives that we live. Help us, Jesus, to see clearly what is important, what is not important. Help us to know how to face every challenge we go through, Lord, either with friends or enemies, people around us. Thank you that you give us wisdom and we can rest because we are appreciated by you. We receive glory and honor and praise from you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hello.
Hello.